it's now time to get right down into the conversation. It's time to delve right into that. Let's go on over and welcome our guest. Shan, good morning. It is an
good
honor.
Morning.
We are definitely elated to have you this morning on the show. So, Shan, let's get into your foundation of all of this, because we want to spend some time into your diagnosis and that this morning. So we want to briefly run through you as a child. Tell us about you as a child. Where were you born and what was growing up like? What kind of household, what kind of characteristics you possessed as a child? Talk to us briefly about that. Your upbringing.
That's an interesting question. No one's really asked me about my childhood, like, ever.
Really?
No.
Well, I'm totally interested.
I would say I had a pretty average childhood, you know. I did move around a lot. We did move quite often when I was younger, so I could safely say that for sure I'm from Castries.
Okay.
But I currently live in Groseley when I'm in St. Lucia, because I'm actually not in St. Lucia right now.
Oh,
so.
You're not?
Okay. No.
Is it work-related or?
Well, I traveled to the U.S. for treatment. The reason I'm here is related to the cancer, of course. So right now I'm about 3 hours behind. So I had a very early morning today, earlier than usual. But growing up, like I said, it was very average. I went to the Methodist school, then the St. Joseph's Convent. And throughout that time, I've always been very active in music. I played the piano, I played the violin for about 9 years. And of course I sang in a youth choir directed by my aunt. So. So I was very active with music. That was my thing growing up. I wasn't into sports or anything like that. I was really into music.
You were
music.
Blessed with an amazing voice.
Thank you.
You have an amazing voice. And I'm sure a lot of people know you along that line as well in your singing career. But that's not all you've done. You've gone on to, you have this innate passion for languages. So I know you speak fluent French and Spanish.
Yes,
I would ask you to tell me something in French. I probably will, but I would not know what you're telling me, and I don't like to not know.
I agree.
So tell me something
completely.
Nice. I know. I trust you. Tell me something nice, because you don't just speak French. I've seen you speak French and heard, and it sounds like you were inducted, you were born, you were raised in this culture, because you have all of the accent. Everything comes out perfectly. So give us something in French. And then tell me what you said.
Okay, d'accord. Je sais pas quoi dire. Je suis très contente d'être ici avec vous aujourd'hui. I said I'm very happy to be here with you today.
French is so sexy. I need to learn. No, my tongue too heavy. I can
I
never
it.
Get this
I feel
right.
Like everybody should learn French.
I know, but it's not everybody will be able. Learning French is one thing. Being able to speak French the way you speak, you can't just. It's okay to know it and have it in your head, but if I can't roll off your tongue like that, don't speak French to me.
I'll tell you what. I've always loved accents and imitating accents, so I think that's what it stems from.
Oh, okay. Well, I love accents too, but I can't get the French right. I guess I guess with the background of the Lucian in you as well, it made it a lot easier, because some of the words are very much similar with the Creole language.
Well, I wouldn't quite say that.
No?
Especially because I wasn't raised speaking Creole.
Oh, okay.
It's something I learned, you know, as I went along. But there are similarities, yes, but still, I wouldn't say they're that close.
All right. Now, Shan, time is, you see how this thing works for us this morning.
Know,
so you are in the field of education. What did you do? You were going to school. You were university. UWE.
Correct. I was at UWE, the Cave Hill campus, which is in Barbados.
Right.
And that's when I was diagnosed. So I was studying, reading for a Bachelor of Arts in French and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And in my final semester, my final year is when I was diagnosed.
But that is not your first encounter with It's easy to impress. Now, you know what, Shan, I want to delve into that. So we know you grew up, we know you was a boisterous young young lady growing up. We don't ask in Christ. We know you were just one of the hyped ones. You look that way. Is that true? You were not a quiet one. Don't try and put that on us this morning, Shan.
I think it's important to have a good balance, you know?
Yeah.
So
you had your time and place. Well, that's like me, so I understand perfectly well. Right. So we really and truly want to spend some time into you as a patient, as a cancer. Is it okay to call you a patient or survivor? What do you call yourself?
You can call me a patient. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So before you went to university, you had encounter with a lump in your breast, is it?
Correct.
Right.
So
walk us from there to where you at today. I'm not taking any ads because we have to go for 11. Right. So I'm not going to take any ads. So we're just going to go with your story. So we have up until 11. So I know you could you just put them little things on YouTube in 6 minutes. So I know you can handle that.
I can summarize for sure. Okay. So I'll just give you a timeline. So in 2014 was the first time I felt a lump in my breast. And I went to see a specialist. And we had the surgery to have it removed. By 2017, the lump grew back in the same breast. I did a surgery again, eventually, and we had it removed. So that surgery happened in 2019, because in 2017, I started university. So I kind of had to work around that. And so I had the second one removed in 2019, and it actually grew back again within that same year. And when I had to have it removed, that's when I did a complete or radical mastectomy of my right breast, which means the surgical removal of the entire thing. And what happened was when they sent it for testing, they noticed that it was actually cancer, but the previous ones were not cancerous. So that led to my diagnosis in 2020. And then I started chemotherapy treatment after that, shortly after. And I completed my chemotherapy treatment. I did about 6 cycles. And here we are today. It wasn't as straightforward because it actually metastasized or spread to my lung. And I would say maybe about 2 months ago, I had another surgery to have my entire lung removed so that they could clear out all of the cancer cells in my lung. So that's why I can say, okay, I'm cancer-free now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been a lot. This is within the space of a year that you had went through all of this. And you also now in university, you had your partial scholarship. Everything was happening within that timeline, that bubble.
Yeah.
How were you able to do all this? How did you balance this? How did you interpret all of that? How was all of this panning out? Because take us into the actual timeline of this, and we want your exact emotions, what was going through your head at this time. How did you decide, okay, I'm not going to break down? Because nobody wants to get this kind of mess. When you get this kind of information, trust me, at anybody and at your age, very young, in university, that's a lot already an added pressure. Away from family, you over in Barbados. And here you are just dealing with this.
So emotionally, I don't want to say that I was completely... I wouldn't know how to describe it, but I wasn't, like you said, I didn't break down or anything. So throughout everything, I maintained a really strong, emotions throughout it all. But when I noticed that the situation was getting out of hand, I did get a bit emotional about it. For example, when I received the diagnosis, I was a bit surprised because I had just had the surgery a month before and I went for my follow-up. So I was a bit taken aback by that. And I was fortunate enough, and I'm going to say that because of COVID-19, sorry to bring it into the discussion, but because of COVID, I was in my final semester, and that's when COVID was, the initial stages of COVID-19. So the country was shut down, the university was campus was pretty much shut down. So everything transitioned to 100% online learning. So I was able to balance everything because I was able to do it online instead of having to actually be in classes physically. So I think that really helped me out. And of course, I had some really understanding lecturers who they helped out. If I needed an extension for anything, they were willing to provide that. So I think that's what helped me. And of course, I wanted to finish strong. I had my goals set, and that's what I wanted to do. So I just put my mind to it, and I did. And I graduated with first class honors. So
Oh my God.
that
There you go. That's how you do this. Do you
was
believe a lot of your dis you used your studies as more of a distraction? Do you think that actually helped in that regard?
Well,
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
trying to figure out how I was able to do all of that and,
No,
still go through
I'm
all of
just
that and
trying
still
to
remain calm.
understand the coping mechanism because there would have had to have been one. So I'm just trying to place it where it belongs.
Yeah,
I
I
guess I'm
would
just trying
say
to figure it
to
out. Being one.
a certain extent, it was
So
probably
I'm just trying
escapism.
to place it where it belongs.
Yeah,
I
I
guess I'm
would
just trying to
say
figure it
to
out. Being one.
a certain extent, it
I
was
would say it
probably
was I'm just trying to.
escapism, having the schoolwork. But also, I love to watch like Netflix series and films. I'm a huge film fanatic, so I was able to use those things. Even a video game called The Sims, I play that. So I was able to get my mind off of things for the most part. So yeah.
Where are you now?
Physically,
Mentally, emotionally,
mentally,
physically, everything. Where are you?
mentally and emotionally, I'm in such a good place. I'm in the best place I've been in a while. I think because I was able to come over to the US to have that other surgery done. The medical team, they were incredible. I actually had the procedure done at UCLA, which is, like a renowned university hospital. And I feel really happy with how everything progressed. Yes, in retrospect, it may have taken a little while to get here, but I got here. And that's what's important to me. So mentally, emotionally, I feel ready to move on with my life because I literally haven't been working or anything since I graduated. So I was fortunate enough to be able to not have to worry about working too much because I'm supported by my family. But I feel like I can finally sit down and make some career decisions, and move on with my life.
Move on with your life.
Yeah, because it was halted, for a period of time. That's how I felt. I felt like I couldn't do anything. I couldn't work because I don't know how this thing would pan out. And I just couldn't make certain decisions until I had everything sorted out. So I feel like I'm in a better position now than I was a year ago. I still have things to figure out, of course, but I think I can finally move on.
That period where you didn't know what to expect. You didn't know what you were in for. You didn't know whether this was going to be final days, months. But you also had to think of the positive side, which is I could, possibility, like you're doing now, overcome this, beat this, and then I can get back down to a normal life. Did you mentally have a strain going on there because you're at the point where, what's the use? And I may never get out of this. But what if I do get out of this? What I would have to have a plan. Did you have any kind of mental issues in terms of this battle in your mind?
Well, I wouldn't say that at any point I felt hopeless. I didn't. I'm a very optimistic person, as you could probably tell.
Yes.
So I never had any doubts that I wouldn't be okay. I did have moments where I felt bad. I felt like, okay, I was burdening my family, which is something that, you know, a cancer patient goes through, you know, all the time, because we're thinking that we're being a burden to everyone else.
Right.
But in actuality, everybody is all just so willing to help us out, you know.
Right. And
so that's why I decided to share my story, Maureen, you know, with the vlog and everything. I just really want people to know that, hey, it's okay to talk about cancer. And we shouldn't assume that everybody knows everything there is to know about it either. Case in point, me, I literally had no knowledge of it. I had no family history either. So everything that I know, I had to research. And I figure it might be best for me to just share that with everyone, because, you know, everyone's probably was in the dark just as I was. So
this is amazing. But you're very young, still very young. And normally people decide, normally people decide, Shan, are you still with me?
Yes.
Right. Normally people decide that, okay, at this age, people don't normally have to deal with this thing. And here I am dealing with not just this one, but a very rare case of what is going on. Yours is very rare. There's a very slim chance of a person getting your type of cancer or tumor.
Yes, that's correct.
And there you were at your age figuring out that this is what you're faced with.
So it was a bit daunting at first. Especially because, you know, everything we've seen in the media and even statistics, they don't really reflect, you know, younger people being inflicted with cancer, breast cancer specifically. So it really, you know, begs the question, should we update our statistics? Should we get a more updated outlook on this disease? And funny enough, I know a few other people who within my age group who have also been inflicted. Someone I attended the St. Joseph's Convent school with, and I was really surprised, because, I mean, they told me that in confidence, but it's still really alarming to know that other people within my age group are going through this.
What do you think your experience can lend to young persons? I know that you're doing the blog, and I know that you have the kind of drive and energy I see you put out in that blog. I can see you have an innate and a special gift, you know, and talent to be able to help other persons who may find themselves having to deal with this, to help them to cope with it. Because everybody don't have your tenacity. Everybody don't have that willpower and that strength that you are now able to show. Do you see yourself in that role?
Well, it's funny you should mention, you know, the whole idea of me having the tenacity to share my story. I didn't realize that people were not willing to do that. So that's a bit of an epiphany that I had. So, and with me sharing my story, I meet people, or people send me DMs, and they're like, you know, they explain the situation to me, and they come to me to ask me, how did I deal with chemotherapy and the side effects of it? You know, so I think now I've come to terms with the fact that I'm in a position to help people. And the way I can do that may not necessarily be monetarily, but I can provide people with information, my backstory, and motivation to be able to go through their journey. I see a lot of comments on my videos of people from people all around the world who tell me, hey, I was just diagnosed with such and such, or my mom was diagnosed and we did this, and, you know, your videos really helped me. And I think that's what makes me happy to know that my videos are helping people. And I think going forward, that is the task at hand, and I will accept that. So if I can help people just by telling my story, then I will.
Absolutely. And you also, you made a statement as well in all of your unfolding of your story, is that it doesn't have to be a secret. And before, you know, we saw a lot of that. A lot of people felt, oh, cancer, we can't let anybody know that way. And you do not feel that way. And I share that sentiment with you as well. I think, you know, we are sometimes when we are faced with situations and challenges in life, it's for us to share the experience so that others can get comfort, that's how I feel. But everybody doesn't feel that way. So we do respect that. But I do share your sentiments along that line as well. Talk to us about that and then wrap up for anybody else that might be out there, probably just got a little news there about that this is what they are working with. Somebody in future, this information might come in handy, or they might need a little encouragement at this time as well. Talk to that in our wrapping up, because we've got to wrap up as well this morning.
Absolutely. Well, I just want people to know that, like you said, cancer shouldn't be a secret. It doesn't have to be. It's not taboo. A lot of people, more than we know, go through this. So there are, you know, organizations and individuals who are willing to help. And I think that's what really hinders people from wanting to share their story or even speak out, because they don't want people to pity them. And they're concerned about the financial aspect of it, which of course we know it's a bit exorbitant, the prices of the cost of chemotherapy and everything. But there are organizations who can help you. There are individuals who can help you, such as myself, you know, emotionally. And it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be vulnerable, because I do believe that there is strength in vulnerability. Allowing people to help you, letting people in, and that's something I've struggled with myself. But when I eventually did that, I realized that, yes, I can still be self-sufficient while accepting help from other people. And that's what I want anyone going through this, or with family members going through this. Be patient with them. Be patient with yourself. And trust me, you know, be optimistic. I know it's probably difficult to do that in your situation, but your attitude toward the situation is really what will help you get through it. And of course, having a really good support system. So,
yeah. Shan, you are amazing. We appreciate you so very much. And it was an honor, like I said, to have you. And we are glad and happy that you're not one of those who don't like sharing your story. We are happy that you felt the need, and you felt motivated and felt, you know, empowered to be able to share your journey along this. Like you said, you've been through quite a lot in a short space of time. Must have not been easy, but yet still you find the courage to give hope, to lend support, to send motivation out there for persons. So, you know, persons can actually look at you and say, hey, listen, what's my reason for having all these issues with myself? You know, so I really do appreciate, we appreciate you here at RCI. Thank you again, Tammy and myself and the rest of the team, and also our partners, the Bank of St. Lucia, Quartz and Dermalogics, on behalf of every one of them and all our viewers and listeners today, and those who's going to go back later to look at this. We thank you very much, and we wish you the very best of luck. You're amazing and you're beautiful and you're awesome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I've always wanted to do this show.
Love you. We love you, Shan. Have a good one. Bye-bye, darling.
Bye.
Oh, God. She's amazing, isn't it? She is absolutely amazing. That was Shan James, of course, a survivor. And she shared her amazing story. Now, that's not all. Shan has got a lot to added to her story. And if you want to stay in tune with it, she has created a platform for you to do just that. So you can join her on her Facebook vlogs, where she does, it's called Virgo versus Cancer. So you can go check out her vlogs as well. and be blessed and be inspired, be motivated, because it doesn't matter if you're dealing with her situation or not. Just looking at this and looking at her travail and her triumphs and her just her approach to it, to the whole situation, it can be a source of hope. I promise you that. I've been looking from since last night. I fall asleep with the computer on because I was just so stuck on it. Thank you again, Shan. A word from the partners. And then when we come back, we got a half hour with the compliments of Swiftback. We'll be back shortly.